Welcome to installment 169 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one prohibition, prohibition 132, associated with the sacrifices, which is the prohibition not to eat pigul, a sacrifice which has been brought with an improper thought regarding when it should be eaten or when it shall be burned. As we will be explaining, there are many different necessary qualifications for bringing a valid sacrifice. Certain things must be done, such as burning certain parts of the offering and eating other parts of the offering. In addition, it must be burned at certain times and eaten only at certain times. For example, the Thanksgiving offering, Todah, could be eaten only for one day and the following night. The Shlamim, or peace offering, could be eaten that day, that night, and the following day. In addition to these acts, the person at the time of the offering must have in mind certain details. He must have in mind what sacrifice he is bringing, and when it will be burned, and which parts will be burned, and when it will be eaten. A person when a Kohen has brought this offering and has a thought when he is slaughtering the animal or burning some of the portions of the animal, and he has a thought which is improper as to when this may be eaten or when it may be burned, invalidates the sacrifice. And this is called pigul. For example, let's say a Kohen was slaughtering a shlamim, a peace offering. And the peace offering may be eaten for 2 days and a night in between. However, when he slaughters it, he thinks he can eat it only for one night and the day which precedes it. In that case, the sacrifice becomes pigul. It becomes invalid. And anyone that eats it is violating this prohibition number 132. It is derived from the book of Exodus, chapter 29, verse 33, which states very generally, "V'zor lo yechal ki kedesh heim." You may not eat them because they are holy. As the Rambam discussed in prohibition number 131, that this is a general prohibition against eating pigul, as well as nesar, as we will discuss in a few days from now. This we learn from the oral tradition, the oral explanation, as explained in the second chapter of the tractate Zvachim. As we've mentioned on other occasions, there must be one verse which tells us the prohibition and another for the punishment. The verse indicating the punishment is contained in the book of Leviticus, chapter 7, verse 18, which states, "V'im he'ochel ye'ochel, if you eat mibzar zevach shlomov, from the meat of the sacrifice, the peace offering, bayema shlishi, on the third day, lo yeiratze, it will not be acceptable, hamakriv eisel, le yechoshev le, pigul ye, this will be pigul, v'nefesh racheles mimenu avena tisa, the person that eats it will bear his sin." And the verse does not say the person that thinks. The verse says that the person eats. However, the oral tradition tells us that is not that he has eaten on the third day, which is now an invalid time for the sacrifice. Rather, he has thought at the time of the sacrifice to eat it on the third day, and this automatically makes it pigul, and it is invalid and must not be eaten. We need another aspect of the oral tradition to tell us the specific punishment. Since the verse states only, "Aveina tisa," he must bear his sin. What does it mean, he must bear his sin? We utilize the Talmudic principle of Gzeira Shava. We compare two words which are used in two different contexts. We find the word Aveina Tisa in another context. And in this context, it refers to the punishment of Kores. As it says in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 8, which refers to Nosar, the meat which has actually been left for too long, and it states, "Aveina Yisa, he will bear his sin, ki es kedesh Hashem chilel, he has profaned the holy offerings of God, v'nichrasa, and he will be cut off, he will get kores." Therefore, the Rambam quotes from the Talmudic tractate Krisus that a gzera shava, a comparison of two identical words, should not be considered light in your eyes, because a person that violates the prohibition against eating pigul will be punishable by death, by kores, a cutting off of his soul from Hashem. And if he does it unintentionally, he must bring a chatas kvua, a sin offering. Why is it that when a sacrifice, an offering, has become pigul through a person thinking that it should be eaten in the wrong time period, that a person that eats this pigul is punishable by the severe penalty of kores? Whereas if a person eats food which is completely non-kosher, such as pig, he is punishable only by lashes. Why should it be more severe for something which was not only kosher, but was actually capable of being offered in the temple in Jerusalem as a sacrifice? The explanation is brought that impurity dwells on an object when it previously had great holiness, that there is more of a desire for the impurity to come into a holy place than a non-holy place. This concept is brought in Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch in relation to the law of washing one's hands in the morning. The law is that upon waking up in the morning, a person must wash their hands three times on each hand alternately. The reason given is that when a person goes to sleep at night, his soul goes up above to the heavens to be revived and refreshed. In the meantime, a ruach hatuma, a spirit of impurity, descends upon the person's body and fills the body to take the place of the holy soul which has now left the body. In the morning, the holy soul returns and the spirit of impurity leaves. This is true for the entire body except for the hands. Therefore, we wash our hands to rid ourselves of this spiritual impurity, which leaves the body, meaning to leave the hands only after they are washed in a particular fashion. However, this is not necessary, says the Shulchan Aruch, for a non-Jew. Therefore, we do not have to worry about a non-Jew touching food, whereas a Jew who has waken up in the morning and has not washed their hands should not touch food, and the food should not be eaten. The reason for this difference is that since a non-Jew does not have the special nefesh elokis, the godly soul that a Jew has, therefore there is no desire on the part of impurity to enter his body when he goes to sleep. The non-Jew can go to sleep, and the spirit of impurity does not wish to dwell there. If there's anyway a certain degree of impurity, and this strong, powerful type of impurity has no desire to come to a place that is not holy. Only in a place that, where there was extreme holiness, and now that holiness has left, this is a place where there's tremendous potential for impurity. And therefore, a Jew who has not washed his or her hands in the morning should not touch food, whereas a non-Jew is not under this limitation, because the spirit of impurity wants to cling to the Jew, whereas it does not wish to cling to the non-Jew. The same explanation applies here for pigul. Since this once was in the category of being a sacrifice, an offering, and now, through an improper thought, it has become invalid, the impurity which descends upon the sacrifice is a tremendously strong and powerful impurity. And therefore, the punishment for eating this pigul is kores, excision of the soul. This is not the case for non-kosher food, that even though it is also impure, it does not have this powerful impurity, since it never had such a strong potential for holiness. Another thought which is mentioned by those that give reasons for the mitzvahs is that we see in the law of pigul the tremendous power of thought, machshava. How did this sacrifice become invalid? Since the person thought of eating it an extra day, through one thought which was present at the time of slaughter or the time of sacrifice, this thought has completely invalidated the sacrifice, to the extent that a person who eats this sacrifice instead of performing a mitzvah will be performing a sin which is punishable by kares, which is like eating on Yom Kippur. How did he change this animal from such a holy, wonderful status to something which is so terribly impure? The answer is through one thought. That thought has the power of changing things to an incredible extent. Therefore, our sages say, that thoughts of a sin can be worse than the sin itself. That since the thought, the aspect of thought, is something united with a person's soul, and it is a more refined, a more inner, a more constant aspect of the soul's expression, when the soul is united with an impure thought, it has an even worse effect in a way than an improper act. Therefore, we have to be extremely careful with our thought, even more so in a way than with our actions. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.